Good to see everybody. Would you all stand? And we're going to start with number 630. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit, from life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction was strictly was made, when at the center I came. Took of the offer of grace He did proffer, He saved me, oh, praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. Amen.
Shall we remain standing for prayer? Heavenly Father, what a glorious day this is. We thank You that You're meeting with us today. We thank You for Your divine presence within our hearts, within our souls, and within our congregation as a whole, as we're gathered here in Jesus' blessed name. We thank you, Father, for all of the blessings in heavenly places that you've given us. We thank you for the faith that we have to claim those blessings and to enjoy all of the things that you have for your people. We thank you today for this privilege to meet here and ask that through Dr. Hare, you might bless each and every heart that's here. Supply us with what we need. Give us the strength, the courage, everything that we need to face the trials of this life. And we thank you for the promise of your coming and receiving us unto yourself. And until that time comes, use us for your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And it's good to see each and every one of you in our service today. We're so happy that you came. And I knew that once we got Dr. George Hare's name in our bulletin, that he was going to be a special speaker, that we would pack this place out. So there's probably still some people on their way, because I can see some pew space out there. Anyway, we're glad you're here today. And we had a delightful Sunday school class as Dr. Hare taught us about the Holy Spirit. Wonderful lesson that he brought us from the Word of God. And so we're looking forward to him preaching for us today. It's been too long, Dr. Hare, since you've been here. Some of the people have forgotten you already, and you've forgotten some of the people. But anyway, won't it be wonderful when we get to heaven and we'll just have such sweet fellowship all the time up there. And just want to welcome you and announce to you that we'll be having services at 6 o'clock this evening, and also at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Come out and be with us in those services, if you will, and we'll be happy to see you. Now then, Brother David's going to come and lead us in another good song.
I think we have our scripture reading.
Oh, that's right. Who's reading the scripture today? Brother Sam. All right. Come on up.
Okay, good morning. We're not used to the scripture reading thing yet, but we'll get into a pattern here. I don't know how some of you, sometimes maybe you say when you wake up in the morning, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Well, let's look at this in Psalm 19. Okay, open your Bibles to Psalm 19. This is a well-known psalm, and yet it is very profound. We have here in this psalm what we call the general revelation of God and the specific revelation of God. So Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the earth, of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of the earth, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, Amen. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Altogether, transgression, altogether, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
It's a blessing. Anytime you hear the scripture, it's a blessing. We're going to sing number 521, I believe it is. 521. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen. We'll have our offering right now. Would everyone stand? And we're going to sing number 227. And would the ushers please come at the end of the song. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down for the cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're thankful this morning to have the Bryants back with us. And of course, Brother Bryant has brought his brother down here from where?
Montana.
Montana.
Not
Santa.
Montana.
Amen. All right. And we're happy to have them and all of you that are visiting with us today. We appreciate your presence. I have a special prayer request. My daughter called me from Riverside yesterday. She was weeping. They found out that her, actually it's her husband Terry's nephew. He's 20 years old and he's come down with brain cancer
and it's terminal. So remember, 20 years old, can you imagine that? A young man just starting out on his journey of life, and God's some reason or other, known only to him, is calling him home at this early age. Remember him in prayer. Also, I was out running the lawnmower over my front grass yesterday afternoon, and a neighbor girl came over there, and she says to me, she says, Mr. Wetzel, said, did you know that my dad just passed away? He'd been our neighbor for many years. I knew he was sick, but I didn't know it was fatal. But he passed away, and so we've got death all around us. But to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Johnny's not here this morning. Is he? I couldn't see him back there. He's hiding. He hasn't sung for us yet. Brother Johnny, come on up here. Yeah, you snuck in on
them. Oh, yeah. You live in Chicago, you got to sneak in every now and then.
You bet. All right. Good morning, everyone. You know, you see it on TV, a lot of people like to sing. Amen. They like to sing for applause, notoriety. But you know what? I sing because of what my Lord Jesus has done for me on that rugged cross of Calvary. He's put rejoicing in my heart. That's why I sing, please. I've been singing about my Lord for many years. I sung when I was happy. I sung when I had fear. But there are some folks that may question if I do it all for show. But the reason that I sing, I want the world to know I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. For I sing because someday I'm going on, and there I shall see throughout eternity. I sung to those walking through the fiery trial, and I watched as sad faces turned into happy smile. Oh, then I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. I'm so glad that He's given, oh, He's given me the victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power to sing. And I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. Or I sing because someday I'm going home, and there all eternity. Oh, I sing because I'm not alone. Oh, I sing because I'm going on. And there I shall sing throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. That's right, Pastor. I'm gonna sing. Ooh, I'm gonna sing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Watch it when I sing for my little
All right. Wonderful. It's our privilege today to have Dr. George Hare with us to speak. I'm going to ask him to come now, if he will. He's the only person around here, I think, that's been in the ministry longer than I have. But that's because he started earlier, not because he's older. Did you know that?
Thank you. Good to be with you this morning. Thank you. I'm glad to have my wife with me. Some 62 years plus now. And we thought we'd just stick it out now. A great helpmeet and one that God directed into my life some years ago. Good to be with you. Good to see your pastor and good to be here at this church. You love the word. You bring your Bibles with you? Hey. Bible church, you ought to have a Bible. Huh? Yeah, I see them. All right. A few might need a little help there. Great to see you. If you will, first, I'm going to actually wind up in 1 Thessalonians, but first of all, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 16. Down at verse 21, chapter 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from his elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. An announcement of his first advent. Now, the Lord Jesus had been with them for 3 years. He'd been teaching them, and now, 6 months before his death, he announces his coming death. And you'll notice Peter took him aside at verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and said, began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." We won't read all the verses there, but coming down to verse 27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. He will reward each according to his works." Now in this 6 months before he died, he announces, first of all, his coming crucifixion. He announces his coming in power and glory at a future time. So once we see this, then we understand why Paul had to fill in some gaps, as it were. Remember, the Apostle Paul was chosen by God, some other writers too. Paul was a primary one who was saved out of due season, one who persecuted the church, and yet God reached down and brought about a great change in his life. So here he talks about the first and second advent. And before I turn away from here, notice Jesus said, "Peter, you should know these things." But really, he had not talked about his death and burial and resurrection until right here, 6 months before he died. Now, if he'd been talking about his death and resurrection all during that 3 years of ministry, Peter might not have agreed with him, but he would not be surprised. So it's very important for us, I believe, to see the transition of events. In the Gospel of Matthew, he announces then his first coming and his second coming. Call that the first advent. His first advent was to come to earth, to suffer, bleed, and die for the sins of the world. His second advent, when he comes in power and glory to rule and to reign. Now, God chose out Paul to fill in some gaps, as it were. If you will now turn to 1 Thessalonians. So many passages we need to turn to, but I want to deal with this one primarily. The gospel goes to Europe. Philippians were the first ones in Europe, European colony. Hear the message. Thessalonians, probably the second one. Now, I've been to these places, and it's amazing to see what's there today. But as you look at these events here, the gospel goes to Europe, and we won't turn back to Acts right now, but in the book of Acts, we find that the believers at Thessalonica needed some encouragement, needed some help. The ones at Philippi, likewise. In the 16th chapter of Acts, I won't have you turn there, but there where the gospel goes to Europe. Now, I'm told about the same time the gospel went to Europe, Buddhism went to China. I often thought, what if, maybe I should have you turn. Look in Acts chapter 16. You don't mind turning your Bible, do you? Acts 16. Notice at, look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, that'd be Asia Minor. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Was there a great need spiritually there? Yes, great need. God in the sovereign choice did it this way. So passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So at this point, the gospel goes to Europe. Paul thought, what if things had been the reverse? What if the gospel had gone to Asia, to China, and the other, as it was? What difference would have been made in the whole world, would it not? It was a very crucial time here. And so you see there in verse 10, now after he had seen the vision, immediately he started to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So sometimes logic does not take the course. Sometimes the need does not take the course. But the moving of the Spirit of God and his leadership. Now, if you will, thanks for your patience, turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Now then, I'm going to read most of chapter 1 as you follow. I'm reading in the New King James. And at verse 2, all through verse 10, there's one sentence in the original text. Paul says at verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. Now, when Paul spent a few weeks there at Thessalonica and departed, and notice how Paul writes to them. Here are some deep theological truths as you work through your way through this book. Only been saved a few weeks. So he said back to verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Lord in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you sounded the word of the Lord, has sounded forth in not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to work Godward has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Young church, notice their fervor, notice their knowledge. They themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God and true God. Here, by the way, I put a little note years ago in my Bible. Here is a picture of repentance. Notice the direction. You turned to God from idols. I remember after World War II, there was some special meetings back in the Midwest, and a man who had been in Germany right after the war spoke. He said, one day I was walking down the street. Here was a little German boy, orphan probably by now. He had a filthy, rotten orange in his hand. He started to eat it. And I could not bear to see him eat that. Run over to him, tried to grab it from him. He clutched that to himself as far as he could, as hard as he could, and ran away. Had an idea. I'll go down to the cantina, where they called it, and I'll buy a fresh orange. I'll bring it to him, see what happens. He said, I ran after him and I found him, and he saw that beautiful orange. As he reached up to take the orange, what happened to the old dirty one? It fell down. That's a good example of repentance. Turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The Spirit of God brings conviction to the troubled heart, conviction to the sinner in need of salvation. He convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So he says, and verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So here's the introduction that Paul gives to the church at Thessalonica. In this letter, five chapters, every chapter has a reference to the rapture of the church. Now, this is something they didn't know about before, a new doctrine sent by the Lord to Paul to give to them and now to us, years and years later. What are we to do? We await for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that he delivers us from the wrath to come. Every chapter ends with a reference to the rapture. I'm going to point these out to you as we go. Look down at chapter 2 and verse 19. What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He's there, he's talking about the rapture of the church. Now what happens at the rapture? The dead in Christ rise first. Somebody asked D.L. Moody one day, why did the dead have to rise first? I'm not sure, but they do have 6 feet further to go. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now I've often conducted funeral services, and sometimes I say to myself, I wonder what would happen. It'd be a great time if while I'm walking towards the cemetery to the plot where we're going to put the body down, Christ comes, instead of the body going down, the body goes up. It's going to happen someday, folks. I'd like to be alive when it happened, wouldn't you? So Paul unveils for us in this whole book, the rapture of the church. Who goes up with the rapture? New Testament saints. Those who are part of the body of Christ. What about the Old Testament saints? The Old Testament saints are still in the grave until Christ comes at the second advent. And there are two advents of Christ. Both are to Israel and both are to the earth. He came the first time to Israel. He came on his own. He came the first time to Israel. He's going to come the second time to Israel. That's after the seven-year tribulation period. But as far as the church is concerned, when Christ comes in the air, we're going to be caught up to be with him in the air. Now, at the very moment of salvation, as we mentioned in Sunday school, the believer is taken by the Spirit of God and placed into the body of Christ. And when Christ comes at the rapture, we're going to go up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive remain, got to be with him. And we often marvel at the speed of the astronauts. I tell you, when Christ comes, we go up, that's going to be faster than the astronauts ever traveled. What a, not fairy tale, what a wonderful thing to see. Wonderful thing to behold, what's going to happen. So you notice then, back in chapter 2 and verse 19, what is our hope, our crown of joy, our rejoicing? Of rejoicing. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That is, his coming in the air. Then chapter 3, down to verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Then chapter 4, notice verse 13. I did not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, there are a lot of ignorant brethren around, but we're not. The word is uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. We're all ignorant about something, are we? I don't know much about space travel. I'm ignorant concerning that. A lot of things I'm ignorant about. But Paul's emphasis here is, he said, I want you to be informed concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, sleep is a euphemism for death. Remember Lazarus? Jesus said, he sleepeth. He had died. We often use a euphemism, which means it gives a softer tone to it. Those who have fallen asleep, let your sorrows others who have no hope. We believe Jesus died and rose again. Now, here's the gospel. You know, sometimes, Pastor, I've preached around in churches a lot, and sometimes I've teaching a class in a Sunday school, whatever. Sometimes I've said, how many of you can tell me what the gospel is? I'm not going to ask you right now, but you can think about it. What is the gospel? You got all kinds of answers. Some say God is love. That's wonderful. He is, but that's not the gospel. John 3:16. That's a wonderful verse. That's not the gospel. Where does Paul give us a description, a definition of the gospel? Now, if you don't mind, keep your finger here and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Notice, he says in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel. Now he's going to give some parenthetical statements. So I preach it to you, you received it, you're standing in the present benefits, I'm paraphrasing you, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Is that the gospel? No. part of it. He died. I was reading an article the other day directed towards unbelievers. Talks about Christ died for our sins. That's a wonderful truth. That's not the gospel. We do not worship a dead Savior, we worship a living Savior. Right? Amen. You notice there he says, verse 3, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was buried to prove that he was dead. He was seen to prove that he was alive. So we do not worship a dead Savior. Been a long time since I've been down below the border, but I used to go down there quite often and go into some of those churches. What do you see? You see a crucifix with Christ upon that crucifix. Is that where he is? No. Thank God he did die there. That's not the gospel. We don't have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior. So Paul says, I deliver you the gospel. What does he say in Romans 1:16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. So a person needs to understand the gospel. I met a man by the name of Don yesterday. We'd stopped and get some supplies at a place and about ready to leave, and a man came up to my, knocked on my window and said, could you help me? That kind of raises red flags sometimes, but I just prayed for wisdom as what I should do. And I said, what's your problem? I've got my truck over here, but it won't start. The battery doesn't respond. You have a cable? I said, no, I don't have one with me, but do you have one? He said, yes. So we got the car started. Put the jumper cables on. That's not always wise. Sometimes you make a mistake and run a whole alternator and all. But I felt constrained. I should help him. So I talked to him. I said, Don, what about your relationship to God? Do you know Christ as Savior? He said, I do. I said, really? Where do you go to church? Well, we don't go to church anymore. I said, are you physically able? He said, yes. Yeah, I said, you should get in a good church where the Bible is taught, we can grow in grace, be a witness for others. I've got his phone number. I give him my phone number, name and phone number. I'm going to call him a few days and chat with him a little bit. So here's the gospel. Okay. God Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's buried and he rose again the third day. And as proof of his resurrection, he was seen. Look at all these that saw him. He mentions 500 brethren at once in verse 6. That's a pretty good cloud of witnesses, is it not? Seen, verse 5, seen of Cephas, then of by the 12. Judas is already gone, talking about the disciples. And that he's seen by James, then by all the apostles. Now when Christ met those on the way, he said, go tell James. Who was this James? We believe to be a half-brother of Christ after the flesh. A son of Mary and Joseph after Jesus was born. And evidently, Jesus grew up in the same household, did not believe he was the Messiah. He says, go tell James, then by all the apostles. Paul says in verse 8, then at last of all, you've seen of me also one born out of due time. For I am least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we all say that? His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we preach and so we believed. If Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some say among you there was no resurrection of the dead? Look at verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Your faith is also empty. Yes, we have found fault witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also we, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, have perished. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And notice verse 20. And now Christ is risen from the dead, have become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We could go on and on. So then we're back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. We'll pick up there and then go on down. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now beginning then at verse 13, as we said before, here begins that passage upon the rapture of the church. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. At verse 14, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel, you see. The death and resurrection of Christ. So God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain coming to the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, thus we shall ever be with the Lord. As you come down to chapter 5, well, I should insert this. I'm trying to hurry here. But as you well know, I'm sure, that Christ comes in the air. We're caught up to be with him. Then there's a 7-year tribulation period. And then Christ comes at the second advent when we come with him. What a day of victory that'll be. We come with him. We're going to reign with him. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you do not know you'll judge angels, you'll judge the world. The world there means the unsaved. We're going to be co-heirs, co-judges with Christ. Now, Paul always couples practicality with truth. If you look at verse 11 of chapter 5, you talk about the Ten Commandments. I counted those off here. I've got 22 for you. You want to mark and want to make a mark there someplace, you can do so. Verse 11, therefore, comfort one another. That's number one. Edify one another, as you also are doing. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. By talking about the spiritual gifts within the assembly. Then he says at verse 13, number 4, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Number 5, be at peace among yourselves. Number 6, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Number 7, comfort the faint-hearted. Number 8, uphold the weak. Number 9, be patient with all. Number 10, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Number 12 and verse 16, rejoice always. How about that one? Is that a supernatural thing? Has to be, doesn't it? You always rejoice? No, we all fall way short there. And he says, pray without ceasing, verse 17. Years ago, as a boy, I used to read that verse as well. How is that possible? I can't be upon my knees 24 hours a day. And I got to thinking. Paul never put an amen to his prayer. I think there are 19. You can check me out. I won't be dogmatic here, but the prayers of Paul, some long, some shorter. He never closes the prayer with amen. He never closes the prayer with in Jesus' name. In the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus said, you're going to pray in the new way, in my name. Well, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? I think Paul was in such communication with God, he didn't have to close it. He just always talking to God. What do you do when you wake up during the night? Once you go back to sleep? Start praying, the devil put you to sleep. But see, with it always there can be things to pray for, can there not? And then verse 18, in everything give thanks. That's a big one, is it not? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Number 15, do not quench the Spirit. Earlier we talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may be quenched in the life of the believer. He may be grieved in the life of the believer. Is there a difference between the two? I think so. In the context, it indicates to us grieving the Spirit when you sin. Quenching the Spirit is when you say no to God. So he said, do not quench the Spirit. Verse 20, do not despise prophecies. When prophecy was still in vogue, as I put it that way, he said, do not despise prophecies. Number 17, verse 21, test all things. Verse 18, hold fast what is good. 19, verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who calls us is faithful. Who will do it? Here's number 20. Brethren, pray for us, Paul says. 21, greet one all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, in our culture, you better try that. Shake hands is good enough, right? He says, verse 27, here's number 22, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read in all the holy brethren, to all the holy brethren. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So a lot in this book. We just kind of skimmed part of it. But remember, each chapter concludes with a reference to the rapture, the coming of Christ. Not revealed to us in the epistles, the gospels rather, except it may be in John chapter 14. But mostly it's talking about the first and second advents of Christ. And Paul is given the responsibility by God to reveal the rapture of the church and all these events. Our time is short. I must close. Let me just suggest this to you. If you're here you do not know you're here and do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, today is today. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins. He rose again. You by faith may receive him as personal Savior, whether boy or girl, man or woman, young person, you may have salvation. Church membership won't do it. Baptism won't do it. Trying to do good works won't do it. Only by faith, the crucified, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Say, dear God, I realize I'm a sinner. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. He'll come. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will what? I will no wise cast out. You may have salvation. Free for the asking. Receiving. Shall we bow? Our Father, how we thank you for the good fellowship here today with these dear people. Thank you for the Word of God. So vast amount of material there. Ask that you might use it for the furtherance of the gospel of those who may not know Christ as Savior, that he or she may come to know him as personal Savior. For those who know him, may we use this time to dedicate ourselves afresh and anew on the responsibility we have as believers. For the pastor, his work here, encourage him. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we stand together, please? We're going to have a verse of invitation. If Brother David will come up here and lead us in this. Someone in this congregation today, you may not be saved. You may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is your opportunity. God meant this service for you. He's addressing the need of your soul. And if you need to be saved today, if you need to establish that relationship with God that will last for all eternity, then do it today. You may never have another chance. Take advantage of it today and come as we sing this invitation.
Number 478.
He's inviting you to come home today. Will you come to him today? For coming today. We appreciate Dr. Hare and his ministry that God's given him, and pray that he'll continue to use him to bless hearts as he has ours today. I'm going to ask Brother Bryant if you'll come up and lead us in our benediction this morning, and God bless you again for coming. Brother Hare and I will meet you at the back door.
Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for this message today, the encouragement and strengthening of the faith of we love and we serve in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your group now, the Lord, this family that's gathered together here. Bless this gentleman as he continues to lead us and lead those that he comes in contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the praise, the thanks, the glory for it all. In Jesus' wonderful and lovely name, amen.